We'll figure out how to
squeeze it in. We're going to be short a week, but we'll figure that out. Okay. I want to start with a quick review of where we ended up. So now it's not last week, it's 2 weeks ago, which was in the concept of the four chiyot, four postponements, because that's the heart of the calendar calculations. What is a dechiyah and how does it operate? What is this concept of a postponement? So there are four rules that define how we determine the days of Rosh Hashanah. Everything revolves around Rosh Hashanah, and when Rosh Hashanah falls, there are four rules. The first we encountered was Lo Adu Rosh. That's the primary rule. But we want the calendar to be set out in such a way that Rosh Hashanah doesn't fall on Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. The reasons for that, so Rosh Hashanah on Friday means that Yom Kippur would fall on Sunday. Rosh Hashanah on Wednesday would mean that Yom Kippur would fall Rosh Hashanah on Friday means Yom Kippur is on Sunday. Rosh Hashanah on Wednesday, Yom Kippur is on Friday. Either way, it means Yom Kippur is next to Shabbat. We don't want Yom Kippur next to Shabbat because we want to avoid two consecutive days of either an Isser or Bishul, a prohibition of cooking, which it doesn't apply to Yantif, or the issue of burial of the dead, the Kvod Lamet. And the third issue has to do, or the other issue has to do with Rosh Hashanah on a Sunday, because that would mean that Hoshana Rabbah would fall on Shabbat. We don't want Hoshana Rabbah to ever fall on Shabbat, because that would mean that we wouldn't be able to perform the mitzvah of the Arava in the Beit HaMikdash. So those are the parameters around Lo Adu Rosh. Rosh Hashanah, Friday and Wednesday to avoid Yom Kippur on a juxtaposed to Shabbos, Rosh Hashanah on Sunday to avoid Hoshana Rabbah on Shabbos. That's principle number one. Principle number two has to do with calendar stuff. Meaning, the concept of the molad of Rosh Hashanah, and the molad of Tishrei, really it applies to any molad, but particularly of Tishrei. If the molad of Tishrei falls later than the 18th hour of the day, the last 6 hours of the day, we don't want to make that day Rosh Hashanah. Multiple theories as to why that is the case, but we talked about that 2 weeks ago. In the end, we're going to push Rosh Hashanah off if the molad falls in the latter part of the day. So if the molad of Tishrei falls on Shabbos afternoon, 19th hour of the day, so we're going to push Rosh Hashanah off for 2 days, because Rosh Hashanah would, molad zaken would determine that Rosh Hashanah would be on Sunday, and then Lo Adu Rosh means we can't have Rosh Hashanah on Sunday, so we push it off to Monday. All the mechanics for the determination of how to move Rosh Hashanah are built around the length of the year. Right? The length of the year is either 353 days, 354, 355, or in a leap year, 383, 84, 85. That's because the only variables I have in my calendar to play with, remember I have a fixed calendar, the only variables I have to play with are the lengths of Cheshvan and Kislev, which makes three different year types, chasera, kasidra, shlema, incomplete, regular, or complete, lacking a day, normal, adding a day, and that pushes Rosh Hashanah, in a normal year, Rosh Hashanah equals the molad of Tishrei. That would be, let's say, in a typical standard year. If I make the year chasera, then next year Rosh Hashanah is going to fall 1 day shy of the molad. Or, if I make it Shlema, next year Rosh Hashanah is going to fall 1 day past the Molad. And that's how I get to play with the calendar. On a leap year, the additional month of Adar is always 30 days. And because I'm interested in the days of the week, what day of the week the holidays fall, I do all my math mod 7, and so my remainder is my focus here, and these are the numbers. You know, how many days in the week does each year type push Rosh Hashanah forward in the days of the week, either in a regular year or in a leap year? This slide we've seen, just a quick review. Clear? Okay. That means, when we pull it all together, that we have, in fact, 14 different possible variations. Right? If I start with when Rosh Hashanah is this year, assuming that Rosh Hashanah can only fall on 4 days of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Shabbos, and assuming that my year is either Chaseira Kesidra Shlema, or a regular year, or a leap year, those are the only variables. And so 353, 4 or 5, 383, 4 or 5 are the lengths of the year. If Rosh Hashanah this year falls on one of these days on the left-hand column, then 353 days from now, 3 day, which is, as we saw in the previous slide, is 50 weeks and 3 days, so that's going to push Rosh Hashanah from Monday to Thursday. Monday this year, Thursday next year. And I can do the same math. If it's a Kasidri year, that means that Rosh Hashanah this year would be on a Monday, Rosh Hashanah next year would be on a Friday. But Rosh Hashanah is not allowed to be on a Friday, Lo Adu Rosh, so that year possibility, that year type, simply not allowed. If the Molad of Tishrei is on the, if Rosh Hashanah is on the Molad of Tishrei this year, we would not allow, and it's a non-leap year, and Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday, we would not allow the year to be Kasidra. Because if the year was Kasidra, Rosh Hashanah next year would be on a Friday, so we have to play with it so that Rosh Hashanah is either, so that either the year is Chasera, and that Rosh Hashanah next year will be Thursday, or the year would be Shlema, and Rosh Hashanah next year would be Shabbos. That's in theory how we're playing with it. In practice, it becomes a lot simpler. But that's in theory how we play with it. Can I tell you to lower the temperature on that machine? Just lower it to whatever the lowest it'll be. I find you. Just lower the temperatures down to 67, 66, whatever the lowest it'll be. That's fine. That's fine. It won't go below 60 something. If you do the math with all of the possibilities, right, in theory there are multiple, right, all, any of these possibilities would be possible, but if you rule out all of the ones that are illegal, you end up with 14 different year possibilities. 14 year, what we're going to call year types, variables where Rosh Hashanah this year is on a day, particular day of the week, leap year or regular year, Chasera Kesidra Shlema, there are 14 legal possibilities. I take out all the illegal ones because of Lo Adu Rosh, Rosh Hashanah not being on a Sunday, Friday, or Wednesday. Okay? This is review, so I say anything you don't understand, stop me, holler, raise your hand, grab me by the neck, whatever you want. Good? Okay. Now, those are the two primary dechiyot. There are two additional dechiyot that we just need to remember because when we start to plug in the numbers, they become relevant. And they have to do with two other variables. We talked about them last week. One is the fact that it is possible for my year to be too short. Namely, if this is a particular scenario, Molad, these are very specific scenarios. These last two field are very specific issues. When the Molad of Tishrei falls on Tuesday, after the ninth hour and 204 parts. Right, so that means that if I add the year, I calculate Molad of next year, the Molad of next year would be Shabbos afternoon on the 18th hour. Right, these two numbers are connected. So this is an arbitrary number that creates a Molad Zakin on a Shabbos afternoon. In a non-leap year. But assuming I start with a Tuesday and I create a Molad Zakein on a Shabbos afternoon, I need to move Rosh Hashanah to Monday next year. Because Rosh Hashanah can't, Molad Zakein would push it to Sunday. Sunday, Lo Adu Rosh would push it to Monday. The problem is that if Rosh Hashanah this year is a Tuesday, I have no option for Rosh Hashanah on a Monday. And so what I end up doing is I have to play with the conclusion. We'll see what that conclusion is. In the end, I'm going to push Rosh Hashanah from Tuesday to Thursday in order to make Rosh Hashanah next year on a Monday. That's one option. The other one that we talked about last week, or 2 weeks ago, is the opposite scenario. If I start with Molad on a Tuesday after a leap year, Molad of Tishrei, the year following a leap year, is on a Tuesday afternoon, 18 hours. Zaken and Adu Rosh means that Molad is, means that Rosh Hashanah was on Thursday. At a leap year, sorry, this is the before the leap year, at a leap year shift, and the next molad ends up being Monday, 15 hours, 589 parts, which means that Rosh Hashanah should be on a Monday. But if I look at a leap year, starting on Thursday, I have no option of getting Rosh Hashanah to Monday, because the earliest it can be is Tuesday. And so my conclusion is that I'm going to just push Rosh Hashanah to Tuesday instead of to Monday. See, everybody see that?
If the Molad was Tuesday afternoon.
Correct. Zaken.
Zaken. So it's Tuesday
so
afternoon.
So Rosh Hashanah that year would have been Thursday.
Right, because you can't have it on a Wednesday, so you push it to Thursday.
Correct. So starting with Thursday, now the Rosh Hashanah next year needs to be Monday. Because next Molad of Tishrei a year from now, on a leap year, is 15 hours, 589 parts on Monday. So theoretically, that's perfectly legal. So Rosh Hashanah next year needs to be on a Monday.
So 2 days Monday,
but it can't be.
Is 9 a.m. and some and 500.
Yeah, what the number here is less relevant to the fact that I started on a Thursday, on a leap year, and trying to get to Monday, I can't do it. So we're just going to push it to Tuesday next year. See what the problem is? Yeah, the problem is here.
Why is it a year after a leap year that the next year is a leap year?
No, it's meaning
the year before
this is the year after the Betu Tukpat is Bet Tetvav Tukpat after leap year. This is what the Betu Tukpat refers to. The Molad after leap year, if this is the Molad after leap year, it's a problem because it meant instead of the way the Tchiyah works is it works like what year am I pushing off? So the Tchiyah is defined by the year that the Rosh Hashanah gets moved from the Molad. So this Rosh Hashanah was the Tchiyah was Zakin in the Lo'ad Rosh. But next year Rosh Hashanah, which is the year after a leap year, Molad Rosh Hashanah should be Monday. It's going to end up being on Tuesday. So it's going to get pushed off the Molad. So that's why that Tchiyah is defined as the year following a leap year.
Okay. So the year following a leap year,
if
the
previous
year was Thursday Rosh Hashanah, we're going to make this option number 11 where it says that we're going to make the second year's Rosh Hashanah on Tuesday.
Right.
Even though the numbers add up where the Molad is,
it should be on Monday. Exactly right. So to summarize, the four Dechiyot that we have so far that we are now going to implement in practical terms are Lo'ad Rosh, Rosh Hashanah can't be Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, Molad Zakin Baltid Rosh, meaning when Molad Tishrei falls later than 18 hours or noon or later, Rosh Hashanah is postponed to the next available day. Gatrad in a simple year. Gatrad is that molad that's 3/9/204 or later. We're going to push Rosh Hashanah off from Tuesday to Thursday in order to allow us to be able to get to Rosh Hashanah the following year the right day. And if the molad of Tishrei is on Monday, 15 hours, 589 parts after a leap year, then we're going to push it off from Rosh Hashanah from Monday, where it should be, to Tuesday, because the previous year Rosh Hashanah was on Monday. Those are the four Tchiyot. Okay? Everything essentially revolves around this primary one called Lo'ad Rosh. Everything else are technical issues related to the way the calendar operates, but the core of it is this Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. We're good? And life begins to get exciting. Which brings us to the concept of a kviya. A kviya is an arbitrary concept. It has no astronomical phenomena whatsoever. It is a construct of three variables that will tell us what we need to know about those, remember those 14 years? Possibilities? We're going to summarize those 14-year possibilities by giving them a 3-digit letter or number that'll tell us everything we need to know about the year. How do we get to a kriya? So we start back at this chart. Everything starts here. Remember this chart? Leave the tchiyot alone. We're going to come back to the tchiyot. But we start from this chart. This chart essentially said that there are only 14 possible variations of the calendar given Rosh Hashanah this year and Rosh Hashanah next year. Those variables are leap year and non-leap year, chasera kesidva shlema, when Rosh Hashanah is this year, when Rosh Hashanah can be next year. I'm going to combine these two charts into one, and that's what it looks like. That's the same chart. I've just combined it into one. We're going to work with this chart from here on in. 14 possibilities. Rosh Hashanah this year, Rosh Hashanah next year, chasera kesidva shlema, simple year or gravid year. Right? So theoretically, there are four variables here. What are the four variables?
Rosh Hashanah this year.
Rosh Hashanah next year. Year type, Chasera Kesidva Shlema, and
leap year.
Those are the four variables. But I told you there's a 3-digit number, or 3-digit letter, which means that one of those variables is going to disappear on us. To do that, we need to analyze this chart a little more deeply, but we need to go one step further. Because if I'm looking at a year, I'm looking at a year type, and I want to know what this year looks like. When I'm building a calendar, when we build a calendar of 2018, or 5778, I'm not thinking about when Rosh Hashanah is next year. I'm thinking about, what are my variables that define my calendar? I need to know Rosh Hashanah this year. I need to know all the holidays this year. I need to know, it's this year. I'm focused on this year. So in theory, I need next year's Rosh Hashanah to tell me how to navigate. But by convention, the calendar gurus didn't want to work with two Rosh Hashanahs because then I'm working with two different years. So they came up with a way of working with two Rosh Hashanahs, but only with one year. How do they do that? By recognizing that there is a fixed number of days in the latter half of the calendar. The first half of the calendar has a variable number of days. Everything between Tishrei and Adar shifts. Cheshvan can have 29 or 30 days. Ches Kislev can have 29 or 30 days. Adar can be one Adar or two Adars. The number of days between first between Rosh Hashanah and Adar are never the same in any 2 years. But the number of days between Nisan and the following Tishrei are always fixed. So. And it's a given, right? If there are 15 days between the first day of Pesach and the end of the month. There's 29 days in Iyar, 30 days in Sivan, 29 days in Tammuz, Avet Elul, Tishrei 1. So how many days between Pesach, day 1, and Rosh Hashanah of the next year? It's fixed, always fixed. 163 days, or 23 weeks and 2 days. Always. Which means that Rosh Hashanah next year is always going to be on the same day of the week as the third day of Pesach this year. Rosh Hashanah next year is always going to be the same day of the week as the third day of Pesach this year, because it's the number of days between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah that's fixed. See that? That's very important. It's not about what Rosh Hashanah doesn't tell me when Pesach will be next year. Pesach tells me when Rosh Hashanah will be next year. Based on that principle, it turns out that we could do the same correlation with all of the holidays that fall during this season of the year. And it turns out that it is a very nice one-to-one. This is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch. It's a very cute little mnemonic to remember the days of the holidays. Assuming you know what day of the week Pesach falls, you would know the day of the week of every holiday between Pesach and Rosh Hashanah. A one-to-one correlation. So, and that famously looks like this. Given the first day of, again, here's Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is always going to be the third day of Pesach. The way to remember this, the way it's set out, is this Atbash. And you know what Atbash is? Atbash was a mnemonic code in which you took the first letter of the alphabet and the last letter of the alphabet and you matched them. And you took the second letter of the alphabet and the second to last letter of the alphabet and you matched them. So your letters go Aleph, Pikim, Odalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin, and backwards, Tav, Shin, Resh, Kuf, Tzadik, Pei, Ayin, etc. It's called Atbash. Atbash, Gar, Dak, Hatz. But, right, just work it across. So this is just a mnemonic to remember them. The first day of Pesach will always correspond to the same day of the week in which the day of Tisha B'Av will fall. Why? Because Tisha B'Av is in here, and Av, Ninth of Av. So you just do the numbers, do the math. It's a fixed number of days between Nisan and Rosh Hashanah and Tishrei every year. That never changes. So it's an easy correlation. Just happens to be Tisha B'Av will always be in the same day as the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Shavuos will always fall on the Pesach. Shavuos will always fall on the second day of Pesach, same day of the week. It's the second day of Pesach. Rosh Hashanah, we said, will always fall on the third day of Pesach. Simchas Torah, also known as Kriya Kuf or Kriya Torah reading, will always fall on the fourth day of Pesach. Tzom Kippur, Yom Kippur, will always fall on the fifth day of Pesach. On the same day of the week as the fifth day of Pesach, and Purim will always fall on the sixth day. Same day of the week as the sixth day of Pesach. In the Shulchan Aruch, written in the 16th century, the mnemonic stops here. I believe it was Rav Tzvi the cook who made the observation in modern times that it turns out that Hei Iyar, Yom HaAtzmaut, happens to fill in the rest of the chart because Hei Iyar will always fall on the same day of the week as the seventh day of Pesach. Just a little bit of fun Zionistic trivia to round out the story. Why is this relevant? Because now, if I go back to this chart, Lo Adurosh, this chart basically said, if I know Rosh Hashanah this year, when Rosh Hashanah is next year, and here's my variables. Right? I now have a way of translating this chart into a new chart that deals not with Rosh Hashanah next year, but with the same information, Pesach this year. All I need to do is shift all of these days by three. And so I end up with this, or two. I end up with this chart. This chart says the same thing. Rosh Hashanah this year, if Rosh Hashanah this year is a Monday, and Pesach this year is a Tuesday, that's the same as saying Rosh Hashanah this year is Monday and Rosh Hashanah next year is Thursday. See that? So what happened to my Lo Adurosh? So let's take this example. Friday. We said Rosh Hashanah this year is Tuesday. Next year's Rosh Hashanah would normally fall on a Friday in a Chaserah year. That's not allowed. When is Pesach this year if Rosh Hashanah theoretically would be Friday next year? Wednesday. You see that? Pesach is Wednesday. So Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Rosh Hashanah next year, the year following would be Friday. If Rosh Hashanah theoretically was on a Sunday, Pesach before would have been on a Friday. If Rosh Hashanah theoretically was on a Wednesday, Pesach the year previous would have been Monday. So Lo Adurosh, Rosh Hashanah can't be Sunday, Wednesday, Friday, is identical and equivalent to saying that Pesach can never fall on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. With the same principle. Lo adu rosh equals lo badu Pesach. Pesach can never fall on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Not having nothing to do with Pesach. But because it's the same year type that would determine Rosh Hashanah the following year to be Sunday, Wednesday, Friday. Okay? But the advantage of working off this chart rather than this chart, they tell me the same information, but the advantage of this chart is that I keep all my variables and all my information limited to a singular calendar year. Everybody understand how this chart came about? If that's the case, now we have one more observation about this chart that we need to see, and that is that now I'm looking at Pesach. Okay, so this now chart, this year Rosh Hashanah, this year Pesach. This, we started to talk about this in one of the previous classes. We need to fine-tune it. There's another observation that they came to in this year, and that is that one of our variables is redundant, unnecessary. Variable that's unnecessary is it's not necessary to tell me whether or not it's a leap year. If I know when Rosh Hashanah is this year, and I know when Pesach is this year, meaning I know when Rosh Hashanah is next year, and I know if the year is Chasera, Kesidro, or Shlema, I automatically know if the year is leap year or not. Why? Because there is no grouping of these days that have two possibilities. Let me explain that again. There is simple year of gravity, that information is redundant. Why? Because if I know Rosh Hashanah and I know it's Chaseira and I know what day Pesach is, there's no double column here, here, or here with the same information in these 2 days. So there's no point of confusion. If I say Tuesday, Rosh Hashanah Tuesday, Pesach is Thursday, and the year is Kesidra, I know it's a leap year. It can't be a leap year, because if it was a leap year, Pesach would be on a Shabbos. If Rosh Hashanah was Thursday, and I say Pesach is Sunday, well, Pesach could be Sunday this way. Pesach could be Sunday this way. That's a leap year, and that's not a leap year. But the variable I'm missing is Shleimor Chasera. If it's Chasera and Sunday, then it's a leap year. If it's Shleima and Sunday, then it's not a leap year. So it worked out, once you look at the 14 types, it turns out that the leap year variable is unnecessary. If I know Pesach, if I know Rosh Hashanah, and if I know the year type, Chasera, Kesedra, Shleima, then that together tells me the leap year. I'll give you an example. Rosh Hashanah this year is Tuesday. The year is Kesidra. Pesach this year is Shabbos. Is it a leap year or a regular year? Do it again. Rosh Hashanah this year is Tuesday. The year is Kesidra. Pesach this year falls on Shabbos. Is the year a leap year or a non-leap year? Leap year. Has to be. There's no options. Plug it in. And the chart, and it just works. So that means that with four variables, I don't need four variables to configure the year. I only need three, because the fourth variable is redundant. Again, what are those three variables? Rosh Hashanah this year. Pesach this year, which is essentially another way of saying Rosh Hashanah next year. And the year type, Cheshvan Kislev. I give you those three pieces of information, and everything else falls into place. And that's the Kviya. The Kviya is a three-letter or digit code. Originally it was a letter, and computer programs becomes a number. that determine everything we need to know about a year. The first letter is the first day of Rosh Hashanah, Aleph through Zion, or 0 through 6. Remember that we're mod 7. So your numbers, Aleph through Zion equals 0 to 6. Just remember that that's the shift. The year type, Chasera Kasidra Shlema, in computerese becomes 0, 1, or 2. And the first day of Pesach, again, is Aleph through Zion, or in computerese, 0 to 6. Three variables tells me everything I need to know about the year, including which parshiyot to combine and which parshiyot to separate, because it will tell me how many weeks there are in the year and how many Shabbatot and what day of the week all the Chagim are going to fall, and I can determine how to lay out the parshiyot. And so there's a definite correlation. Everything in the calendar. Three
digits.
There's
only 14 different ways that the calendar and the parshiyot and maftarot and layout.
Correct. There are only ever 14 year types, period. There are no other variables. Every luach, every calendar, will tell you the kviyah, the beginning of the calendar, and it'll tell you what the kviyah for the year is. I'll show you what the kviyah is for this year in a second. We're going to calculate them. We're going to go through the exercise of actually doing the math. It's really fun. Okay, so going back to this chart, let's plug them in. Okay? Give me the kviyah for box number one. Put it in Hebrew letters. You've got it on the... If you're looking on your chart, you've already got it, the answer. So don't look at it. Look on the board. Okay?
Look at the board. No, looking at a different chart.
Don't look at the page. Look at the board, because the page already has it written down. What's the kviya for this box here, box number one? Say that again.
Bet
gimel.
Bet gimel.
That's
what
it's
bet.
Okay,
hold on.
Bet.
Yeah.
Chasera kasidra shlema. So chet kaf shin. Chasera chet kasidra kaf shlema shin. Right. Those are bet. Sorry. Say that again. They are Chasera, Kesidra, Shlema, also known as 0, 1, 2. Okay? Those are my year types, and my days of the week. So, first box, Monday it's going to be?
Bet.
Next is the year type, Chasera, Kesidra, Shlema. Chasera. And then? Pesach. Pesach is on?
Tuesday,
it's right there. And this is already the Pesach chart.
Right. Okay.
So bet, bet, gimel. Is the kviya for that year. In computerese, that would be?
Two.
0, 3. 0 is Shabbos. 0 is Sabbath. Because it's 4 months 7.
No. Monday would be Gimel then, no?
Monday, Chasera, Tuesday. Monday.
Monday is 0 to 6.
Monday, Chasera.
No, but
Tuesday.
But you said the numbers go Aleph through Zion is.
Aleph is 0.
Aleph is 1, Bet is 2, Zion is 0. Mod 7.
No, you're
Aleph
is 0.
No. Well, 0 is Shabbat.
Isn't that Aleph?
No. Aleph is 1. Sunday. Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, Hey, Vav. 0.
It's only like.
It's mod 7 math.
Okay?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 10.
Right.
Okay? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 0.
Okay.
Mod 7. Okay? 0 is.
Okay, Aleph is Shabbat. That's why I was confused. Okay.
Okay? Theoretically, a molad of a kviya of Shabbos, Chasera, to Shabbos, which can't exist, but theoretically, would be a kviya of 0, 0, 0. Can't be, but that's okay.
Okay.
Okay? So that's Be'er Chagiga.
So let's do another one. Real fast. And then we'll put the rest of them on the chart. Let's do this Kviya right here. Tuesday, Kasid V'Shabbos.
Back six.
Don't look on the chart because I already filled it in there.
No, I'm looking at the bed.
Oh, the top. Okay, I don't know what
zero.
I put there.
I'm not sure yet.
Okay, Tuesday. So this box here. And right. Let's.
Which one did we start at?
One second. Yeah. We're doing this box here. Okay.
So Tuesday we start here. Rosh Hashanah. It's Tuesday. Kasidra. Shabbos. Which is Zion. Or in computerese, it would be 3-1-0. Okay, I'm going to put them all in a second.
Okay.
Now I'll take this chart with you.
Okay.
Now, here they are. So now I filled in the box. This is every. This is, don't worry about it. Just put it aside. Just put it aside. We'll come to it. This is the kviya. Whoops. This is the kviya. So every box gets a three-letter kviya. Bet chet gimel. Gimel chav he. Gimel chav he means. Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday. The year type is Kasidra. The Pesach will fall on
Thursday,
which, by the way, means that Rosh Hashanah next year is going to be Shabbos. Okay, that's to go back to the old chart. And it tells me that the year is Kasidra because there's no other option. Gimel Chav only has two possibilities. Gimel Chav can be Gimel Chav He or Gimel Chav Zayin, but that's it. Which means that in addition to everything else, the kviya pairs off. They pair up. This pair, which is Monday, chasera, either Tuesday or Thursday, simple year or leap year. Bet Shin, pay Monday to and Shlema, again, pairs off. Simple year will be Thursday, gravid year will be Shabbat. Follow? So we end up with not just 14 year types, but the year types in fact pair off into leap year and non-leap year groupings.
Most of
them. There's two here that don't have a sister. And the Thursday Pesach options in the Chasera and Kasidra options, they don't have a pair. Now, one of the advantages of this, and this is, I'm not going to do the math of how we got there because I wouldn't have a clue how it was analyzed, but one of the advantages of this is that we can then do a statistical analysis of how frequent years fall. And this is where it gets really fun, because we all know intuitively that there's one or two year types that are very rare. Namely, what's the rarest year type or types? Pesach on a Motzei Shabbos, Pesach on a Sunday, Erev Pesach falling on Shabbos. That is the most least likely year type. Take a look at the board. Where is Pesach on a Sunday? Okay, where is Pesach on a Sunday? Well, Pesach on a Sunday here, correct? Where else is Pesach on a Sunday? Pesach on a Sunday here. Okay, any other options here?
Are you circling them?
I'm circling them. Pesach on a Sunday. Any other options? No? Alright, so let's see what happens statistically. Here is your frequency of every kviya. The red ones are leap years, the white ones are non-leap years. Now let's take a look at the ones that have Pesach on a Sunday. Pesach on a Sunday here. Pesach is on a Sunday here. here. Correct? Those are the three Pesachs and Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Now look at the year frequencies. 4, 3.6, 3.6. Those are the smallest frequency numbers. More or less, about 11% of the time, Pesach is going to fall on a Sunday relative to the other numbers. I'll show you the chart in a second. But this is interesting because it just statistically gives me a sense to prove what I already know intuitively. Okay? Why is that the case? The reason for it makes a lot of sense when you think about the Kriya. Or when you think about the Dechiyot. Pesach on a Sunday is essentially the same year type where Rosh Hashanah falls on Tuesday. Agreed?
Next Rosh Hashanah.
Right. So look at it from the perspective of Rosh Hashanah for a second. Forget the other three Dechiyot. Let's just take a look at the Dechiyot of Lo Adurosh. For Pesach to fall on a Thursday, that means the Molad of Tishrei could have been on either Thursday or the Wednesday before, because Lo Adurosh. For Rosh Hashanah to fall on Shabbos means that Molad Tishrei would have fallen either on Shabbos or on the Friday before, because of Lo Adurosh. For Rosh Hashanah to fall on Monday, again, the Molad of Tishrei would have fallen either on Monday or Sunday. For Rosh Hashanah to be on Tuesday means that the Molad of Tishrei had to have been on Tuesday and before the ninth hour of and 204 parts, because otherwise you have the Dechi of Gatrad. Okay? So there's every other possible year type, Molad Tishrei, the Rosh Hashanah has a 48-hour window for the Molad because of Adachiyah. Tuesday is the only day of the week in which Molad Tishrei falls, where the day before was legal for Molad Tishrei for Rosh Hashanah. And so there's the least number of options for a Adachiyah to push Rosh Hashanah onto that day. Hence, Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday is the rarest of year types, and because Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday is the rarest of year types, so is Pesach on a Sunday. That makes sense? Okay. That essentially comes down to the map of it, but it's the same thing we looked at before. Okay. We're good? Now comes the fun part. This was all the mind-blowing, challenging, thinking part. Now comes the easy part and the fun part. We're going to build a kviya. What does build a kviya mean? We're going to take any given year and the variables of Molad, we're going to pull it all together. How do we build a kviya? How do we determine what this year is going to look like? We need certain variables that we've already established. What do we need? First thing we need is, what do we need to determine? What are the basic information we need to determine what goes into determining what the kviya is? We need Rosh Hashanah. We need to know what year it is. We need to know what year in the leap year cycle. We need to know if it's a leap year or a non-leap year, right? But we also need to know where we are in the leap year cycle, because it makes a difference. Right? Because of the dechiyot. So we need to know what number we are in the leap year cycle. Then we need to plug that into our chart on Molad Tishrei and determine when Molad Tishrei is for that year. Okay. Then we need to take Molad Tishrei of next year, calculate the dechiyot necessary, and based on that information, come up with a kviya. That's the process. And we could do all of that exercise, and we could do it painstakingly, carefully, go through from the beginning of the course till now, and go through the whole process. Or we could open up the Shulchan Aruch, and this is mind-blowing. We can open up the Tur. The Tur is the precursor to the Shulchan Aruch. The Tur took all of this, And he said, but wait a second. Why don't we do it simply? If we know when Rosh Hashanah is this year, and we know where we are in the leap year cycle, then more or less, we know when the chiyot are going to be, we can chart it all out. And we can create one chart that we literally just plug in when Molad Tishrei falls to determine whether or not the year should be a leap year or non-leap year, etc., etc. And so we end up with a single chart. That chart looks like this. And that chart is far less intimidating than it looks at first blush. And we're going to work with this chart for a second. I've given you this chart in B. Okay, this is where it gets fun. Okay? This chart includes all the variables. So we just have to learn how to read this chart. We start on the left-hand column, which determines what year we are in the leap year cycle. 3, 6, 8, 11, 14, 17, 19 is a leap year. The other years are non-leap years, but non-leap years fall into three groups. They fall into groups between two leap years, or after a leap year, or before a leap year, based on unique circumstances. So I need to know where I am in the 19-year cycle, and I plug my row in based on that. Then I need to look up Molad Tishrei. I look up Molad Tishrei, and I plug it in. Now, the way this chart works, the way I wrote it up with a lot of quotation marks, or ditto marks, is that basically you're going to read down the column. So this column starts from the top here, and any Molad that falls between this and the Molad listed to the right would fall into this box. So any Molad that falls between Shabbos, 18 hours, and later, up to, well, if it's a leap year, up to this number, and if it's a non-leap year, up to this number, would fall into this column. You look at Molad Tishrei, you're going to get a number.
Right.
Okay? You're going to plug that number into a box. It's going to fall somewhere, it's going to fall somewhere in between. Let's say it's a Shabbos. It's going to fall somewhere between the 0, 18, 0, 0 and this number here, 1 day, 20 hours, 491 parts. Anything in between, in this year, it's going to be in this box. In this box, the Molad Tishrei would be from anywhere between this number here and this number here.
Oh, I see.
Okay? And similarly along the way. The reason for these numbers, these footnotes in here, is it tells you what Dechiyah is involved. In the bottom of the chart, it just tells you what these numbers represent in terms of what Dechiyah is involved. You were curious and wanted to know. All right?
And those are more legal, are basically the four times that Rosh Hashanah can come out. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Shabbos.
Right, so on the top, now, once you have your number, you're plugged in, then you go back up. And what you're going back up to is for, first of all, it tells you day of the week for Rosh Hashanah this year. It tells you the day of the week for Pesach, with two possibilities. Why two possibilities?
Leap year
or regular year. Remember, we've already determined whether we're where we are in the 19-year cycle. And then this will tell you whether it's chaser or kesid or shlem.
Because
there's no option of Rosh Hashanah on a Tuesday for the year to be anything other than Kesidra. Go back to that original chart. You'll see it.
That was one that didn't exist, right?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. So now, let's have a little fun. Shall we?
Can you look up for Molad from the calendar?
You can look up the Molad of the calendar. Or you can look up the Molad here. Okay. I'm going to give you the Molad for the entire 350 cycle. And we're going to plug it in.
What's the 350 cycle?
That's the cycle we're in right now. Divide by 19. The quotient is your cycle completed, and the remainder is your in the cycle. So 5778 divided by 19. With these 304 remainder whatever, which tells you we're in the 305th cycle. What year we're in that cycle?
We're in the process of completing the
So let's do a simple calculation. Let's take the first. Machzor Katan, year one, 5777. Mola Tishrei, 020724. What does that mean? Remember that's that original chart of ours, Mola Tishrei? Right, what does Mola Tishrei 5/7 of 020724 mean? The Mola of that year fell?
Shabbos.
20 hours. 724 parts. Now, intuitively, that's a classic example of a combined dechia, because Shabbos is more than that. It's late on Shabbos. It's Molad Zaken. So Molad Zaken pushes it to Sunday, and then it again it's going to push it to Monday because of Lo Adurosh. And that's an intuitive sense. But let's plug it in. Where we are in the Machzor Katan, what row are we on?
Bottom
row. Okay, in the bottom row, we are, the molad is 0.2724. So where in this across am I going to put this box? The first one. Because it's later than 0.180, but not yet at 192.240. So we're going to put it right here, in this box here. Agreed? Zero, 20, 724 in year one. Here's year one. Anything later than 0.18. So this is 0.20724. So it's going to go in this box. It's not going to go into this box because it's not yet at 192.40.
Okay. We don't have the year before.
We don't need the year before. We don't need next year. That's the beauty of this.
No, no, but
I need 1 year only.
Yeah, but how do we know it's the year after a leap year?
It's year one. I just said Machzor Katan, year one.
Oh, I see. Okay.
When your first year of the cycle.
Gotcha.
Okay, so we're right here.
Gotcha.
Now, if we're right here and we know, are we a leap year or non-leap year?
None.
Non-leap year. So if we're right here and we know it's a non-leap year, work your way up. What do we get? We go from here.
I know you're writing, but I can't see anything.
Oh. Sorry, I haven't written anything yet. Here we go. If we go right here, and we know it's a non-leap year, so we go straight up, and here's my kviya.
Oh, there it is.
Rosh Hashanah is a Monday. Well, year's Chaserah, and Pesach's going to be on Tuesday. I started here. This box and the non-leap year leads me straight up to here. Monday, Chaserah, Gimel. And we intuited that. We said Rosh Hashanah is going to be a Monday, right? Because it was a Molad Zaken and Lo Adurosh. So we intuited that. That's fine. That's an easy one.
No, don't wait
a second. We've got to get through 19 of these.
I know. Where did you come up with it?
Do we know how we started, how we got to this box?
Yes.
All right, then we go straight up the row, straight up to the top, to the blue on the top.
Right.
And we know it's a non-leap year, so we got to go to this box instead of this one. That's for leap years, this is for non-leap years. But everything else is sick.
Oh,
everything else is fixed.
Okay, that's what I didn't understand. Okay.
Everything else is fixed.
Got it. Parentheses are leap
year.
Okay.
Okay, we're good?
Got it.
How do I erase all ink on slide? Excellent. Okay, let's do the next. So wait, so we're going to put down 5777. Yeah, said is what was the clear we said?
Bet.
We said bet.
Bet.
Bet. Okay, excellent. Next, 5778. You can write it down in the chart. We're going to test ourselves afterwards. 5778. Where are we in the leap year cycle?
Year two,
which is a regular year before a leap year. So the only thing I need to worry about in that year is going to be, is going to be Gatrad if it's on a Tuesday, right? So we have to worry about. So let's see where our molad is. 5/5/520. Where are we going to plug in? 5/5/520. 5:20. Where do we land? Where do we land?
Wednesday? No.
Where do we land? Which one of these boxes? That we need like that music from the game shows.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Where do we land? 5:20. Are we going to land in this box or this box?
No, it's too far.
This box, right? Because this box is 5:09, too far. So we end up, but we're later than 3:09. So we're going to end up in this box right here. Classic.
That's right. Right? We're going to end up in this box right here. So if we're in this box right here, and we are in a leap year or non-leap year? Non-leap year, which means that our kviya is going to look like this. That's what our leap year is going to look like. That's our kviya is going to look like. Namely, 5, 7, 7, 8, our kviya is going to be A, Kaf, Zayin. Okay? Just for the sake of it, we're going to do one more, and then we're going to check ourselves. 5, 7, 7, 9. 5, 7, 7, 9
is a leap year.
So now we're into row one. And the kviya, the molad, 2:14, 3:16. So 2:14 falls where?
Sunday.
It falls in this box here. It's not Sunday, it's Monday, but it falls in this box here because it's between 1:20, 4:91 and 2:18. We're earlier than 2:18, correct?
Right.
We're 2:14. So we're in this box here. If we're in this box here, and we're a leap year, where are we going to go? Okay. Just because my numbers are in English, let's put them in English letters for a second. This is 2:03. This is 5:17. And this is 2:02, Shlema, 7. Sorry, there's no 7. 7 is 0. Okay?
What happens if I fall earlier than 18 happens?
Then you're in this column.
Oh. Okay.
Circular. And you're in the Shabbos column. Right? So if we work off this chart now, you could fill in the rest of the chart if you want. You want to do one more, you could. But let's see if we got them right. 2:03.
In this molar.
5:10. 2:20. Hey! We got it right. It's an amazing chart. Because I don't need to start worrying about molar Tishrei of next year. I've built molar Tishrei of next year into this chart. I know Molad Tishrei this year, and I know where I am in the leap year cycle. It's already built into this chart what the Molad of next year is going to have to be, or what the calculations are going to be in order to make Rosh Hashanah. I only have to work 1 year at a time. I take the Molad of this year, Rosh Hashanah, plug it into this chart based on the 19-year cycle, and voila, I have the Kaviyah. And this is in the Torah. This was written in the 16th century. It's a wild chart. It's not exactly in this format, but it's a wild chart. Somebody had a question. You see, you understand how this works? This is now much simpler. This is literally plugging out. As long as I have, and we have the charts at the Molad of every Rosh Hashanah, of every Tishrei. I gave you that to you a couple of sessions ago. Literally, take the Molad of any given year, as long as I know, and it's easy to calculate where I am in the leap year cycle by dividing by 19,
I don't have to do any thinking. I just plug myself into a chart. Where is the molad? And we're going to come up with the kviya. And that's what it ends up looking like. That's the kviya for every year in the 305th cycle. Want to do one more? Let's do...
Let's do 5786 for a second. Okay? I'll show you why I want to do 5786. 5786 is year 10. So where are we here? 5786. Okay. Where I am in the leap year cycle? 5786? Is year 10. Year 10 is right here. Okay? Molad for 5786? 2. Am I in the right year? No. Sorry. That's the wrong one that I wanted to do. No, that's not where I wanted to be. Alright. I'm going to end up being over. Not where I wanted to be, but that's fine. Year 10, 5, what's my molad?
218.
So where's 218?
Third column.
187. Just a few parts in this column. Because I'm at 218, had I been just 187 parts shy, I would have been over here. I made it into this column by 187 parts. Did everybody see that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, and that put me straight up in a non-leap year, Gimel Chaf Hey 315. Am I 315? I'm 315.
It works.
It's not exactly what I wanted to do, but that's fine. This is the same chart I just gave you, the way to check your math. We checked it in another fashion, so we're okay with that. Now, this, you're all familiar with Feldheim's publication of a 200-year calendar?
The green book.
The green book. The blue book. Mine's blue.
Oh,
it's basically a book that has 200 years, 200 pages in it, or 200 double pages. Each double page is a year. And this is what a year looks like in this calendar. This happens to be this year. Why do I put this here? Because I want us to see what's involved here. It happens to be that the kviya for this year, 5778, is what? What's the kviya for 5778? We already calculated it. What is it? Hey Chav Zayin, 510. If you didn't notice it, it's on the top of the page. So what does that mean? Well, here's what that year will look like. That year will be Rosh Hashanah, will fall on a Thursday. There's Rosh Hashanah on a Thursday. That year will be Cheshvan Kislev will be Kasidra, which means Cheshvan will have 29 days. Kislev will have 30. There's 29 and 30. And it means?
Pesach will
fall on Shabbos. It's over here. Now, it also means that I have a very specific fixed set of Shabboses through the year. I know exactly how many Shabboses there are, and I know exactly when the Shabbos. When the Shabbos parshas have a regular parsha read on them, and when they have a Yom Tov or Chol HaMoed reading read on them, because the configuration of Shabbatot is determined by the day of the week of Rosh Hashanah and the day of the week of Pesach. The configuration of the Shabbatot is fixed for this kviya. So the parshiot, combined or separated, are going to look identical in every year type of 510 Ha'echazon. You can look through the Feldheim calendar and check it out. It's going to be.
We have the same thing.
Oh, wait.
2011, 2012.
Right. So now, what I've given you in that other chart is this. I've given you a sample year for every kviya. There are 14 pages in that packet of calendars. There's one page per kviya. Yes. That's because I could. If you look at the top of the page in the center, you will see... if you look at the very top of the page, you will see the three-digit kviya type for that year. Simply listed them. I gave them to you. Now, in the package, you don't have 5778. In the package, you have 5772, because the last time I ran this course, I pulled those pages out, and that was a while back, so anyway, but you can figure it out. They're going to look identical. The English calendar, the English date may be different, but the Hebrew date's going to be the same configuration. All right. So, to pull it all together, the last piece of this discussion that I wanted to have today actually, let's just go back one second. I just want to make sure that I erased all the... Yeah, okay. The last piece that I wanted to have today is a little bit of just fun math. And it's fun math that I don't understand. It's like I can never process it. I'll let Khalid process the math. This is not complicated math. Just I'm so far removed from highest common factors and least common denominators. It's like, yeah. But how many years will it take for the calendar to completely reset itself and start repeating the cycle of kviot? Remember what I just gave you. It's the back of this chart. This page here, the back of that big chart, is a list of the kviya for every year in 2000 year calendar, from year 4111 to the year 6000. That same chart that was two pages of the molad for every Tishrei that I gave you a couple of weeks ago, this is the same chart, except that it is now the chart of the kviya for every year. See what this is? It's a three-digit number per year. That's the clear. Computer ease. It's from Professor Leolevi. So the simple question is, the clears navigate between, based on all of these variables. How many years will it take for all of these variables to reset themselves so that I get back to 000? I get back to a starting point of my calendar. You understand the question? There's no practical ramification to this question whatsoever, because we don't work that way. We work by calculating the molad of Tishrei and then plugging it into the chart. But just out of the fun of it, how long will it take for the calculations to come back? So I wouldn't have a clue how to do this. Professor Leo Levy, who was the rector of Machon Lev, who wrote a book called Halachic Times of Home and Travel, wrote the following formula. And the formula says as follows. The correct value of the period can be found by taking the number of parts in a week. Okay, so you've got to multiply a big number. And dividing this number by the highest common factor of the total number of parts of the week and the remainder the 19-year cycle. If you ask me to explain that, I'm not even going to try. Because I have to kind of process it through.
Oh, okay, because we talked about that the 19-year cycle
is a little bit of an epsilon.
Has, even with this, so every year it changes a little bit to make up for that.
Correct.
For that error.
So when does that all come back to zero?
When does that come back?
And the answer is, so the molad moves per month, one day, 12 hours, 793 parts. The total number of months in a machzor katan, 19 months, is 235 months. Correct? 7 leap years times 13 and 12 non-leap years times 12. Mod 7 is equal to 2 days, 16 hours, 595 parts, or 64 times 1080 plus 595. That is the total amount of parts that the Machzor Katan shifts every 19 years. It's the total number of parts that that Machzor Katan shifts. After how many cycles will this number return to be an exact multiple of 7 days, 0 hours, 0 parts? When do we get back to 0.0? And so this is the formula that Professor Levy calculated, the number of parts in the week divided by the highest common factor of total number of parts of the week and the remainder of the 19-year cycle, which is 7 times 24 of times 1, 1080, over the highest common factor of 7, 24, 1080, and 64, 1080, 595, which you just calculated here, which is 181,440 divided by the highest common factor of these two numbers, which is 5, which is 336,288. What does that mean? It means, after how many cycles will this calendar reset itself? 36,288. That's 36,288 cycles. In other words, after 689,472 years, the calendar will reset itself.
So if I save my calendar this year, down 688,000.
Which is why we don't bother with waiting for this thing to reset itself. We simply calculate it year by year, and we have fun. And that is so the real chiddush here tonight that I really think is sort of everything revolves around is this. This is the summary of the whole thing. All I need now is to know what year in the leap year cycle I'm in, which means year, leap year and non-leap year, and the molad of Rosh Hashanah, the molad of Tishrei. Plug it into the chart, and I get all the other variables of the sphere. And I've got my calendar. Life couldn't be simple. Right. Now, we have, just to kind of go, where we go from here, and the reason I ask that is, theoretically, our next unit is on anniversaries, yahrzeits, weekly Torah portion, things of that nature. That's sort of where our next unit is going to go. And then a couple of other items. We're going to do that next week. I originally had charted this out so that next week was our last class. Right? We had originally 5 weeks. 6 weeks.
Yeah, this is week four.
This is week, was supposed to be week five. Yeah. Next week is our last week. The week following, I'm out of town. So, we have two choices. We can, but I have theoretically two sessions left. We can do one session next week, combine it all. Not that complicated. The stuff that I have for next week is sort of the more generic stuff, things like the partial, then have the partial, when they're combined, when they're separated, etc. Anniversaries and yard sites and things of that nature, we can combine them, just do one more session, or we can do it at the original pace I had intended and do next week and then wait a week and then 2 weeks and then follow up the last session. That's up to you. But we will start with the show next week. Question number we will conclude probably next week. Question number one. Question number two, does it matter to anybody here if we start at 7:30 or at 7:15? We're supposed to start at 7:15. Does it make a difference to anybody here if we start at 7:30 or not? Yes? No?
No.
Does it matter to anybody if we start at 7:30? So next week we're going to, I'll send out an email, but we're going to start at 7:30. We may have to go till bit of a closer to 9, but we'll try to do it within the hour and a quarter that we had upon. Okay?
Okay.
I hope that was helpful. Oh, good. Did. Oh, excellent. Excellent. Pleasure. I hope it was interesting. It's warm in here.
Why do you go up to 75?
It's warm in here.
Because it's saying that's for the actual temperature.
Right.
What's in there?